Appreciate it. Well, well, well. Yeah, my name's Dave Graziano. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Dave.
I'd like to thank Mike for asking me to come on down and my three fact checkers, right? These guys know me pretty well. I don't want getting up here and all of a sudden freelancing. Oh, I walked into an AA meeting and I was sober the next day. And it didn't happen like that for me. But I do have a sobriety date, which is July 28, 2012. And I've yet to meet anybody since I've got sober that's more surprised by that than me. I didn't see it coming. I'd resigned myself, you know, to drink myself to death. That's just what it looked like. I didn't know there was another way. But Alcoholics Anonymous and God had another plan. So if God asked me to do something or Alcoholics Anonymous asked me to do something, it's a small price to pay. Small price. And I do have a home group, the Buford Road group. And we meet on Buford Road. And that's how slick we are. But and it's pretty sure it's Bon Air Christian Church. I've only been going there, 16 years, 13 of them sober, every Wednesday night. But we do a speaker on Wednesday. The first Wednesday is a speaker, and then the rest of the week we do a step meeting, just to go through the steps over and over again. And I do have a sponsor, and there are people in this program that are sick enough to think that I can help them. And they come by my house and they call me on the phone and we try to do what we can to help each other out. And I'll just say a couple of little public service announcements, right? First off, if I say something that you find offensive, I ain't talking to you. There's other people in this room coming to find out other than me, other than you. So if it bothers you, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Just get over it. Call your sponsor. I don't know. Send GSR an email. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. And the second one is that I wasn't clean and sober when I came into AA to get clean and sober. If I could just not drink, I wouldn't be here. Right? So my story looks like I was in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous for 3.5 years in a blackout. And my buddy says, he goes, man, you were going to more meetings than sober people, right? I mean, I was going to 5-6 meetings a week. And I was drunk in every one of them. So if you run across something like that in your life, just keep coming back, man. Just because I'll tell you like this, man, when I passed out July 27th, 2012, I had no idea it was getting ready to happen to me. No clue. Because if I did, I probably would have drank more, right? I would have made it a little bit more of a spectacular show instead of just a passing out at 10 o'clock like I always did. But anyway, as we move along this thing, you know, I come from alcoholism, but I'm the first person in my family to ever get sober. I got it on both sides of the family. My mom's side probably a little bit more severe. I got a brother that's drinking himself to death. And it's funny too, because you learn a little bit about, I learn a little bit about a humility in here, right? And what he's putting my family through before I want to walk around like I can't believe it. I did the same thing, right? Because I didn't even have the common courtesy to leave. I just did it right in front of your face, you know. And my first documented blackout, I was 13. But like I said, I came from, you know, alcoholic, heavy drinking situation family, you know, and they're like, the solution to that was make you do physical labor. There was never, you know what I mean? It was just par for the course. It wasn't like I was the first time that's what my family did. They drink, you know, and they drink a lot, you know, which was a big thing for me is because I'll tell you a sentence that almost killed me, right? Why I got to be the alcoholic. Why me? Everybody else gets to drink. Why did I get pegged for that? Right? And my sponsor told me like this one time. He said, because I'm telling you, that almost killed me. Right? Why me? Why everybody else get to drink and I don't get to drink? And he said to me, he said, look, man, he said, if your house was on fire, would you want to get your wife and your kids out of the house and save their lives and your life too? Or would you want to sit in there and try to figure out what caused the fire? Right? I'm a man, right? I'm Sicilian Irish. I said, I'm getting my family out, man. He just set the trap, right? He's Sicilian too. And he said, well, this is the exact same thing. Because it doesn't matter why. It doesn't matter. I am one. You know? And if we weren't in church, I'd say tough whatever. You know what I mean? But that's it. It's tough, too bad, dude. You are one. What are you going to do about it? And I'm the kind of alcoholic like they take me through the big book. You know, because I had a home group. I was a drunk coffee guy at Buford Road, right? And I was the only coffee guy they'd never given the money to up front to buy the coffee. Which, thankfully, because that would have been one more amends I had to make. But and that's funny. Guys are like, I don't know how to make coffee. I said, dude, I did it for 2 years in a blackout. Just put the water in the stuff and I don't remember. But I had a sponsor and I had a job, like I said, in the home group, man. I was going to the meetings. But anyway, they was taking me through the big book. And first off, like, I don't know if you remember this. When you first came in Alcoholics Anonymous, it might just be me, right? I come up to this dude, man, and I'm like, I need to stop drinking. He's like, well, are you willing to go to any length? Whatever, right? I'm like, dude, what do I got to do, right? And he said, well, meet me at this church. The meeting starts at 7. Meet me there at 6. We'll get it all set up and everything, right? And I'm thinking to myself, this dude didn't hear what I said. Brother, I'm trying to stop drinking. What are you talking about? Right? So then I go to this meeting and I'm shuffling chairs and he's like, talk to that guy, you know. Now, in all fairness, I was still drunk, right? So then after the meeting, he said, Saturday morning, come by my house. I'm going to read you this book. I'm like, bro, I don't think you heard what I said. I'm trying to stop drinking, right? Because I think it's a physical thing. I think that's how you can, there's some physical trick to stop drinking, right? And I know people that can do that. The old elusive heavy drinker, hard drinker, them types, you know, they look like us. But then their wife says, seriously, that's it, no more. And next time you see the dude, he's got a bottle of water in his hand. I'm like, man, you going to AA? He's like, no. Now, most of them are smoking weed, but that's a whole nother story. But so they're taking me through this funny little big book y'all guys are always talking about. And we get in the doctor's opinion, and they're saying, like, I graduated high school, kind of, right? So I'm not, I can comprehend a little bit of what's going on, right? So they're taking me through this doctor's opinion, right? And they're like, look, man, this is what an alcoholic is, right? And they're talking about me, right? And I'm like, yeah, well, I guess I am an alcoholic. And they said, well, according to this book and our experience, you can either do what we do, or you can be doomed to an alcoholic death. And that word is so powerful. You don't hear that anywhere unless you watch wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, but doomed, that was an old school world. But doomed, we all know what that means. You're doomed, dude. I don't know what the actual definition of it is, but it means it's over, right? So they're like, you can either do what we're doing, or be doomed to an alcoholic death. Can you wrap your head around that? I said, yeah, no problem. They go, well, what do you want to do? I said, let me think about it. Right? And it talks about it in the book, too. It's not an easy decision to make. All I know is drinking. That's all I know. You know? And this dude up in Richmond, he says that he went to his first meeting and they said, if alcohol is your problem, you can go home. If alcohol is your solution, I'd sit right in that chair right there. Because alcohol is my solution to the whole thing. Because I'm completely and totally baffled by the world as it is. You know, what does that look like? I'm up in my head all the time, even as a little kid, fantasizing about, walking, just, and I never felt, I wouldn't say I never felt comfortable in my own skin, because I really don't know what that means, but I hear it a lot, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I don't know what that means. But I'll tell you like this, I was in fourth grade, and I remember sitting in class, and I was sitting there not paying attention, and thinking about me, and I was like, everybody likes me. I got so many friends, people I don't even really know, they like me. It doesn't make any sense. And I said, well, maybe my parents are paying everybody to like me. And then my second thought was, well, my parents ain't got no money, so that can't be it. But like, that's the kind of stuff in my head, right? And what that transforms into a dude like me is like, when I start drinking, right? I don't like myself. I hate myself. If I didn't hate myself, why would I do that to myself? But what it comes out is, the way that I talk to people and the way that I treat people, I'm pissed at me, but I'm taking it out on you. Well, you're a sorry son of a... You ain't worth nothing. It's what I think about myself, but I can't say it to myself, so I put it on you. Right? And the book will tell you like this, too. It says the alcoholic in the cups is an unlovely creature. Like, they don't say bad guy. They don't say pain, and you know what? Like, I'm a creature. Like, when I'm drinking, you got no clue, man, what's coming at you. No clue. Right? But what happens to a guy like me is I know the difference between right and wrong. Right? I know that. I brought up like that. Most people know it even if you wasn't brought up like that. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. And all I'm doing is the wrong stuff. Right? I'm so cool that my girls were probably at this point, they were probably 7 and 4, give or take, when I really started getting in, it got really, really bad. And I'm riding around in my truck drinking, and the phone rings, and it's my wife, and I'm like, oh man, here we go, right? And I'm like, almost pick that up. I'm like, yes, I'm going to feed the homeless or something, whatever I told her, And it's my daughter on the phone, right? And I said, what's up, Bean? And she said, Dad, why'd you take that money out of my purse? She said, I was saving it. Right? Dad's thirsty. So let me tell you something, if you don't notice about me, right? When I tell you I didn't care about anybody, I'm not trying to sound cool, man. It's not what I'm trying to put off like I was such a tough guy, because I wasn't. I was not. I did a lot of really bad things to a lot of good people. Now my buddy hooks me up, man. He said, well, you did some bad things to some bad people too, right? I said, yeah, that's fair. I didn't come here at the Boy Scouts. No offense to Boy Scouts. And I do stuff like my wife and my kids are sitting on the couch, and I'm going drinking. And they're all crying. Dad, please don't. And I go. And I guarantee you this, man, whoever came up with direct deposit was married to an alcoholic. I guarantee you that, right? Because back when you used to get your check and then you would go to the bank and all the schlubs would be standing in the line to get their cash, right? And it sounds funny, man, but I might come home Friday. Might come home Sunday. Might have some check left, might not have some check left. Kids gotta eat. Dad's thirsty, man. That's in front of everything. Period. And two things that you can't do to a real alcoholic, or this real alcoholic anyway, you can't convince me or scare me to get sober. I got every reason in the world to get sober. My wife said to me, she said, this isn't working, we can't pay the bills. This keeps up, we're going to have to sell the house. This is how delusional I am too, right? And I said, and she goes, and we're going to have to move in with my mom. You know what my first thought was? Well, she got a pool, right? That's my first thought. I'm like, damn, we're going to move to a place with a pool, right? Then I got to worry about the mortgage. This is going to be awesome. And I'm saying, you know, I got a little bit of class to me. I'm like, I know, baby, it'll be tough, but, you know, we'll be all right. And she goes, we. She said, I'm not talking about you, buddy. Me and the kids are going. You're going wherever guys like you go. You know? That doesn't get me sober. That does not get me sober. You take the only three things that mean anything to me, really mean anything to me in my life, and my wife and my kids. And you're going to take that away. If I don't stop drinking, I keep drinking. And so, the things that happen to me are the things that happen. You know, you lose a job. I lose a job. I was telling the story on the way down here. And this company was trying to look out for me, man. I gave them the finger, basically. And they ended up firing me. And I did what any great alcoholic would do. Put my clothes on for the next 3 days and went to work like I didn't lose my job. You know what I mean? I'm going to figure it out. And that's what I used to tell my sponsor. I said, man, if everybody just leave me alone, I can figure this out. Just leave me alone. Everybody's crowding me, right? And he said stuff to me like about powerlessness. He said, he goes, look, dude. I said, I'm not powerless over nothing, man. I'm a man, right? Got my ass kicked so many times. But anyway, and he goes, all the problems in your life that you're telling me about are caused by alcohol, right? So any normal person, if they had that many problems from alcohol, they would at least cut back. Hell, some of them would even stop. You drink more. So the problems mount up because of the drinking. I hammer down, right? And I get fired from my job. My wife finds out about it. And I'll tell you something too, right? This is a little out of sequence, but who cares, right? It took me about 8 or 9 years of being sober. And I would tell people, and you have no idea how bad it was for me. You have no idea. You know who it was really bad for? The people that love me. Right? So I got to tell you this story. Like my wife finds out. She's not working now because I got a good job. Benefits and all that. I lose that. She finds out by a phone call from the company. No clue. Right? Because it's like, well, he's off the insurance. She's like, why is he off the insurance? Well, he doesn't work here anymore. She's like, what are you talking about? Right? She got two kids. You know? So she calls me up and we meet up at the bank. And she takes me off all the bank stuff and tells me that, so I'm going to my mom's house for a couple hours. Go get your stuff and get out. So I do that, and I go to my mom and dad's house. That lasts about 2 weeks before my mom tells me this one night. She said, look, if you, I'm drunk. She said, if you want to drink yourself to death, why don't you go underneath the 14th Street Bridge, get it over with. Stop coming around here. Like, that's what I do to people. You talk to my mom today, she's like, you're my hero. You're my rock since my dad's been passed, right? But that's not on my mom. That's not what I'm saying. That's what I do to people, right? So I get my stuff and I leave and I'm sleeping behind the sheets. And it's wintertime. Anybody ever sleep in their truck in the wintertime? Come on, man. I'm in the wrong room. So so what you do, right, is you crank the heat up, right, as hot as it can get. And then you turn it off because you don't want to waste the gas. And then you fall asleep. And then the cold wakes you back up. Right, and I'm watching the sheets shift change so I can go steal beer, you know, different shifts, right? And my sponsor calls me, and he's like, man, what's going on? And so I'm telling him what's happening, like I just told y'all. And he goes, oh, man, that's perfect. I said, perfect? How you figure? He goes, well, you're all by yourself. You can figure it out now. How about that? Those guys pay attention. I hate that about them. But I'll tell you this, I'm not making fun of anybody, I'm making fun of myself, right? The busiest person in AA is an unemployed newcomer. Right? And I say that because I'll tell you the story, right? he calls me. I'm sleeping in my truck, right? He's like, yeah, you know, you should come to this meeting, you know, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, what time's the meeting? He's like, well, the meeting's at 8 o'clock. Why don't you meet me over there at the parking lot at 6? We'll get in the book, right? And then we'll go in at 7. We'll help set up, you know, and greet people and all this stuff, right? I go, man, I don't know, dude. I don't know if I can make it over there by 6. I'm sleeping in my truck, dog. I got nothing. So I go to that meeting, and he goes, there's like 4 or 5 older dudes. And he's like, tell them what happened, right? So I tell him what happened. Let me tell you this, spoiler alert, if you just started coming around here, if you come in here looking for sympathy, you ain't going to get it. You're just not going to get it because they've done that. They've already done it. They know exactly what you're talking about. So I'm pitching my tale of woe to these people and these dudes, man. And the one guy goes, well, looks like you got plenty of time to go to meetings, right? And they all start laughing, right? I was mad as hell, man. But there was more of them than me. I'm not stupid neither, right? I wanted to beat somebody up, but I knew it was a team, and I was going to take it, right? And I went over to the side, and some guy came over there, and he talked to me for a little bit and was just saying, you know, they get it, dude. They're not laughing at you. They just understand that you don't have to live like that. So at the end of the day, we're getting ready. I went to the doctor, and at this point, I was probably drinking like 2-3 pints of vodka a day. And because I had gotten a job. And man, I tell you what, man, I'd be at work and I'd be like, man, I'm not drinking today. And I pull in front of that liquor store and I'm like, look, dude, I'm going to get one pint. One, right? As I'm walking across, right? But right before I get to that curb, at that two is the number, right? And I walk out with 3. You know, but it's like, I think I'm powerless over alcohol. I think that's what they're saying. And I don't know if you've ever done any closet drinking. That's the worst, man, right? Because you're trying not to look drunk, right? And I got that pint, so I drink a pint on the way home, and then I got the one stuffed down in the laundry bag, right, at the house. And all right, I'm going to go in there every 45 minutes to an hour and take a big pull. That'll smooth it all the way to the end, right? Well, I go in there, right, and I get the pint out, and I'm like, I'm already half drunk anyway. I'm like, warm, cheap vodka. It's the spot, right? Like this. Hey, you might as well have another one while you're here, right? All of a sudden, I'm in there for a half hour, and I'm coming out with it. Oh, my God. And then you come out like, your fly's down, you got piss on your leg. You're like, I think we need to get somebody to take a look at that tree, you know? It's sitting there one night, my wife was like, you could call it a vodka lemonade if you want to be generous. I mean, it was vodka in a pint glass. And we were sitting there eating dinner. And she was like this. She goes, let me have a sip of that lemonade, right? And I'm like, yeah. It's funny now, ain't it, Dave? Wasn't funny then. And she takes it from me, man. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, but I'm drunk, so I'm too worried about nothing. She knew there was vodka in there, but she didn't know that it was vodka, right? She sets it on the table and she said, that thing's all vodka. You know what I said? No, it didn't. That's right. That's right, Matt. No, it didn't. No, it isn't. You know, and she went and stormed in the back. Anyway, man, so I'll push along a little bit here. So I went to the doctor and the lady said to me, she said, I've been telling you for years you need to stop drinking. She said, sooner or later, it's going to kill you. And I'm a wise ass if you haven't figured that out yet. And I go, well, which one is it? Sooner or later, right? And she just, you know, doctor, she just looked at me like, dude, you're dying. She was like, sooner. And I had this big brown spot on the front of my leg. Like, it started like that big. But then by the end of it, it looked like a eggplant cutlet. You know what I'm talking about, Harper? And it was like that big, right? And she took her hand and she rubbed it. And I said, what is that, right? And she said, that's your liver shutting down, right? You know what I said to her? Because I didn't tell you this. I went to medical school, apparently. I don't remember it. You know what I said to her? I go, that's what you say, right? Because it was 10 o'clock in the morning. I'd already been drinking. I went out in the truck, man. I had one in the console. And once again, I'm in a church. I'll clean it up. I said, oh, well. Right? Because at that moment, like, I can't see my kids losing their dad. I can't see my wife losing her husband. I can't see my parents burying their kid. I can't see it. I see it today. Believe me. But in that moment, I can't see nothing. My sponsor would tell you like this. He said, man, you'd be walking around AA, man. He was like an empty shell. He said, I'd look you right in the eyes, man. He was dead. He said, there was nothing in there, man. I almost went all the way, you know. And so then, like a week or two after that, I was at my brother's house. My oldest brother, he and I are best friends. And his son was 2. And they was having a birthday party for him. And they was like, everybody was going to go inside, and they had like a little inflatable pool there. And my brother was like, he's like, man, we're going to go in and get all the food ready. He's like, will you stay out here with Wilson? And I'm like, yeah, of course, right? Perfect. They all go inside, man. I got my pint out in the truck. Right? What'd I tell you about that? Ain't no quick nip for this dude. All of a sudden, I'm out there 20 minutes drinking. I come around back, man, and there's nobody there. I run over to the pool. Wilson ain't in the pool. Fortunately, he walked inside. But me and my brother must have gotten a fist fight. Because his kid could have drowned. And you know what I'm thinking? I don't know what this dude's getting all fired up about. Nothing happened. Yeah, he's always blowing his stack, just like the old man. Crazy. And so then we're getting ready to go to the beach. And like I said, I come from some pretty aggressive drinking. And like when we go to the beach, they got like handles of vodka and bourbon and all this stuff up on the bar. And they got coolers, man, chock full of beer. And they got 7 cases of white wine, 4 cases of white wine, or 7 red, 4 white, and then a case of champagne. Not that I notice. I'm just saying, right? And I woke up that morning, man, July 28th, and the one thing I hadn't done, because I'd already done a 4-step, 2 of them, matter of fact, 4 and 5. But I wouldn't sign off on that God thing. I wouldn't sign off. They'd be like, ask God to keep you sober in the morning. At night, tell them, thank you for keeping you sober. I said, man, ain't going to work. I said, what do you mean it's not going to work? I said, brother, I can't get off the couch without drinking. And they said, well, just try it. I said, it won't work. And it talks about it in this big book in Spiritual Experience, right? It's content prior to investigation. I won't even try it. I got no willingness. My mind's closed. And I can't move my lips without lying. The 3 things I got to have, I ain't got. Right? And I finally cracked that morning, man. And I didn't see it coming. And I stood there in the driveway, and I just said, because in this book it's going to tell you God as I understand him, not as we understand him, as I understand him. It said as we understood him, but they're talking about me. They're talking about you. You ain't got to put your stuff up against nobody. Anyway, and I stood there and I said, God, please keep me sober for the next 45 minutes. Because the God of my understanding at that moment, that's all he could pull off. So I prayed to a God I didn't believe in. Right? And guess what? The compulsion to drink alcohol was not there. Right? Because I was going to get gas, which meant I was going to drink. Because I don't know about you, but when I take my family on a vacation down the highway, I like to be drunk. That's how cool I am. And after 45 minutes, I thanked him. And I asked him for another 45 minutes. Right? And from that first time I asked him to take it away for 45 minutes to standing here, right here, right now, the compulsion to drink alcohol has been removed. Right? And I can prove it to you. I ain't had nothing to drink. Right? And I did that 45 minute for a couple of days, man. And I was just staring up at the sky, man. The blue sky was the God of my understanding. And I'm in this house full of everybody drinking, and there ain't no alcoholics in there looking for help. Right? But all I know about alcoholism, Alcoholics Anonymous at that point, the only thing I know about it is help somebody. guess what? Today, that's about all I know about Alcoholics Anonymous, right? So that whole week at the beach, man, I'm making breakfast. I'm making lunch. I'm taking the kids to the beach, man. I'm sweeping the floor, man. I'm sacking the trash. I'm boom, 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 boom. And I was just of service to my family the whole time. I went to my first sober AA meeting down there, down in Outer Banks, Turning Point. 3 days sober. Shared out the big book. And it's one of those things that I came back to Richmond and the guy told me, this dude, he never seen me sober. This old head at the meeting. And he's like, how you doing, Dave? And I was like, I said, I'm great, man. I said, I don't feel like drinking. He said, this too shall pass. Right? And the hair on the back of my neck stood up. Because when I think about the first 4 or 5 days with the compulsion to drink alcohol gone, it's the most beautiful thing that ever happened to me. Like the monkey was not on me. Because I remember when the dudes would be like, yes, they go, man, how come you didn't call me before you drank? I said, I know you're going to try to talk me out of it. They said, you ever think about drinking? I said, I never thought about drinking when I was drinking. I wasn't drinking because I was mad. I wasn't drinking because I was sad. I wasn't drinking because my wife was up my ass. I was drinking because I was awake. Right? And the crazy part about that story for me is that I'd had no physical repercussions to stopping that alcohol. And I was addicted to alcohol physically. I did have some hallucinations, which was pretty cool, but that's a whole nother story. But I never shook once, right? I didn't have a seizure. I didn't die, right? So when I got back in, as I was getting sober, my original sponsor had, we had moved on, his idea. And But that's the thing too, right? We were talking about it on the way down here. He didn't fire me. He called me up in a very loving and strong, stern way. He told me that I needed to find somebody else. He said, you know where I live. You can always come by. I'll always take your call. I'll help you any way I can, but we're just at an impasse. You think about that, man. You sponsor somebody for a year and a half, 2 years, and they're never sober one day that you talk to them. So anyway, so the other guy that was sponsoring me, this guy, Milk Dud, helped save my life. He was awesome in the big book, right? And I love him. But he was on his way out as I got sober. So the first 3 months that I was sober, I didn't have a sponsor. But I knew AA. I knew what to do. I knew the meetings to go to. I knew to stick my hand out, right? How you doing? How's it going? And that's what I did, right? And then I went to this meeting, and they was in the big book, and they were talking about the ninth step when the guy come up out the cellar, right? Ain't it grand the wind stop blowing, Ma? Right? What they're talking about, if you're not familiar with that part of the book, what they're talking about it is, I get sober. Nothing to see back here, people. I'm sober. Let's just keep it moving. Right? There's no price to be paid. But believe me. When I say it, there's a price to be paid for what I put these people through. There's a price to be paid, right? It's payable. Don't worry about it. It's payable, right? So I went up to the dude after the meeting, and I said, man, what are they talking about in there? He said, oh, they're talking about people that get sober through the steps, but they stop at step 8 and 9, and then they just go on about their business. And I'm like, oh, that sounds pretty cool, because I know what an amends is, right? And I go, what happens to them? He said, they drink. He said, every one of them. I said, Lord have mercy. So the next night I went to my home group, and my sponsor had switched home groups, but he was at the meeting. And I saw him, and I walk up to him, and he said, this is the first time this dude's ever seen me sober. Right? So why would he think I was sober? And he said, how you doing? I said, man, I'm doing good. He goes, are you lying to me? And I said, no, dude, I ain't had a drink in like 90 days. And he said, well, how's Jeff, Milk Dud? And I said, I don't know. I can't get a hold of him. He said, who's your sponsor? I said, I don't have one. And I'll tell you what he didn't say. What he didn't say is, man, I hope you find somebody, because you wasted so much of my time. Because when he was sponsoring me, he had 2 jobs, and he was getting married to a lady with kids. My wife should say, how does this dude have time for you? make time, right? But you know what he said to me? He said, I'm your sponsor. He said, what steps did you leave off on? I said, 8. He said, make a list and come by the house. And we've been together ever since then, you know. And I'll tell you just a little quick thing about the amends process. I made amends to my wife, and it's funny, man, because people call me crazy, right? I'm cool with that. That don't bother me. But my wife stuck with me. Now, that's crazy, right? I guess that's a side note. But anyway, it made a lot of sense up here. But anyway, and I'll tell you this too, right? Like when I got my first 30-day chip, because I would come home with chips, right? Because all of y'all are watching me. As far as I went was a 9-month chip, drunk, right? Because you're like, this dude's sitting here, he's got to be sober, right? I don't recommend it. But, and I would come home in a blackout and be like, oh, I've been sober 6 months, you know, and she'd be like, okay, pal, you know what I mean? She wasn't a big fan of Alcoholics Anonymous for a while. Until it did what it does, and I had this 30-day chip, man, and I love my wife dearly. I love that lady. Man, I put her through it. I tell you what. So, and I really wanted to tell her, but I knew she wouldn't believe me. This thing will tell you that 10 to 20 years of drinking make a skeptic out of anybody. You'd be a fool to think I was sober. You'd be a complete fool to think I would stay sober. A fool. And she ain't no fool. And so after like 45 days, man, I just cracked. And I called her in the kitchen. I said, hey, baby, I said, I got to show you something. She said, what's that? And I said, man, I got this 30-day sober chip a couple weeks back. I've been sober 45 days. You know what she said to me? You are different. How about that? Right? How about that? That's pretty powerful. So I go to make amends with her, and she was the first one. And we went and we were talking. You know, I was talking, and you know, and this is also a little side rant. It doesn't say anything in here about what did I leave out. I've looked for that in the literature. I can't find it. Everybody says we do that, so I think we just do it. But there's no proof that... Anyway, I guess I say because we know we're blackout drinkers. And so I made my amends to her, and I said, did I leave anything out? Is there anything that you want to say? And she said, yeah, there's a couple of things I want to say. And I said, okay. And she asked me if I ever cheated on her. And I said, no. Because let me tell you this, right? As far as ladies are concerned, I love alcohol more than my own kids. I wasn't there for that. I drank for one reason, oblivion. But anyway, she's like, I didn't think you did. And she said, but she said, let me tell you something. I said, what's that? And she said, when you used to get drunk and belligerent, right, in my head, right, I'm like, hey, whoa. What's all this belligerent talk? You know, I thought I was a fun-loving drunk. I honestly did. I was not. And she said, when you used to get drunk and belligerent, I used to come back in the bedroom and lock your door because I thought you were going to beat the hell out of me. You know what I didn't say to her? I wasn't brought up like that, baby. I would never do that. I didn't try to explain it away. God got in the room, man. And I just said, baby, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It was devastating. That lady loved me. Golly day, man. But anyway, didn't they tell you I was the funny speaker? Anybody tell you that? So, I'll push along, man, and I'll tell you what, like my first 2 years, we were talking about outside, like people talk about early sobriety, and my buddy came, he just picked up 30 days, and I was like, I said, well, 30 days, I mean, that's really not that big a deal, right? Let me finish. I know I talk slow, let me finish, Mike, right? 30 nights? That's a whole different ball game, right? Because when it's just me and the demons, that's what I call them. The shame and the negative thoughts and the self-loathing and all that stuff. Those are the demons that get on me, you know. I tell them in my first six months I was sober, man, I slept like a baby. Woke up every hour and a half crying. But like the first probably two, call it 3 years to be generous or accurate, however you want to look at it. I use God to keep me sober. Period. God got me sober. And after that, take a knee, big boy. I'll talk to you tonight. I'm not drinking today. I got it. My kids are terrified of me. My wife don't want to talk to me. I almost got fired from my job. And I would call my sponsor and be like, this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. You know, the injustices of the world. And he would say to me, he'd be like, well, have you tried praying about it? And I go, well, am I supposed to be praying about stuff like that? And he would always say the same thing. Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? Well, I'm a little bit part redneck, you know. So I said, I'm so tired of God telling me the same damn thing. I'll show him. I'll start praying. And I had to stop calling him. You know what I mean? It's like it worked, right? I got into step 11, right? Because I'm stuck in 10. Right, because I like loopholes. I don't know about anybody else. Right, there's a loophole in here, or so I thought. It says we are not saints. That was a loophole for me. I can be a total, you know, whatever, and then I'll just go back and make amends. Right, and I was sharing about it in the home group one night, and this old head came up to me after the meeting. He said, let me ask you something, Dave. You always talk about hurting your family and everything. I go, yeah, you know, yeah. He said, He goes, there's going to come a time when you tell your kids that you love them, and they're going to say, you got a funny way of showing it. I said, damn. Right? So the beauty of this whole thing, right, is the way it works for me is when I get into 11 and I get that prayer meditation going, right, and I'm talking to God, I'm developing this relationship with God, right, what I'm asking for God is the stuff that I'm not wired with, right? Compassion, understanding, wanting to be helpful, thinking about anybody but myself, right? And I say, God, please put somebody in front of me today who needs my help. Boom. Here comes people, right? Because if I'm doing 11, that allows me to do 12. Because I'm being honest, 12 doesn't sound awesome to me. Helping other people. But it is, right? I never get tired of being wrong. I don't want to help nobody. I got my own stuff going on. And then I developed this relationship with God, right? And he says the same thing to me all the time. I bring him a problem. God, I don't know what's going to happen with this. He says the same thing every time. I got you. Go help my children. Because that's how the third step applies in my life. For me, the third step is God tells me, I got you, go help my children. I got you, go help my children. And the more I help his children, right, the better my life gets. How about that? Wrap your head around that. That don't make no sense, right? The more I do for other people, my life, I'm repeating myself, but my life gets better. When I go out there to try to get mine, I tell you like this. If you want to see a problem in my life get worse, send me over there to fix it. Because my solutions are worse than my problems, right? My wife says something to me, right? My wife says something to me. Well, I don't like the way she said that. I'm going to let her know. What's the opposite of that? Just sit there and don't say nothing. Or say, okay, baby. If I don't have God in my life, I go the other way, right? And the things that happen to a guy like me because of Alcoholics Anonymous and my relationship with God. I'll tell you one, like when my daughters were 10 and 5 when I got sober. And I was I like to say verbally and physically abusive father, but at the end of the day, I used to slap him around. I said horrible stuff to him, threw one of them down the stairs, drank and drove with him, took him to the drug dealer's house with me. You name it, man, I did it to these kids, man. And we're walking into a restaurant, and my oldest was 14. Beans is her nickname, and she said, I said, Beans, what did y'all talk about at school today? And she said, we talked about growing up and having kids, getting married and all that. And I said, what'd you say? She said, well, I want to be like your mom. I want to have 3 boys and then a girl. And I said, oh, that's pretty cool. And then she hit me with this one. She said, I'm going to name my first son after you. You know what my wife said? Of course you are. I didn't come here for that, man. I came here because I can't stop drinking. And I've been blessed to have these incredible relationships in my life. Unbelievable. When my dad passed away, we would go to church together and just sit and talk. And when he passed away, we went and talked to the priest. And the priest said, he said, oh, yeah, Dave, your dad told me your story, right? And he said, I go, oh, yeah. And I always forget that it's got a good ending, right? I'm so self-centered. I'm like, why do they have to put my dirty laundry out in the street? It worked out. My dad told the priest, he said, my son Dave came to God. He brought me with him. It's stuff like that. Right? And as much as I want to say, we were talking about it at the house the other day, man. I miss my dad. He's been gone 8 years now. And I miss the hell out of him because I only had about 4 years with him before the dementia. 4 years sober and then the dementia got him. And I think about me, of course, right? I'm like, man, I wish I... Because my brothers and sister, man, they went on all these trips and they did all this cool stuff with my old man, but I was drunk. But what really gets to me is I stole that from my dad. I stole that relationship that he wanted to have with me. Right? I don't beat myself up about it, but it is what it is, no? And he told me before he passed away, we were sitting there in church, and he said, when I'm gone, and I got 2 brothers and a sister. He didn't say this to nobody else. He said it to me. He said, when I'm gone, he said, you take care of my wife. He didn't say you take care of your mom. It's a man talking to a man, right? And I was like, of course, Dad. And he grabbed me, you know how like old dudes do? You know, like you're pretty sure you could pull away, but you're not really sure. So you just kind of stay there, right? And he's like, I'm not messing around. You take care of my wife. And I take that responsibility incredibly serious. And you know, and my wife said the other night, it's probably about a year ago, we were sitting there eating dinner, the 4 of us, and I don't know if anybody in here raised daughters, but they like to break balls. And on me, which is fine, I guess. And they were all 3 of them were giving me the business, right? And I wish I could remember what Sammy said, the little girl said, and she's 19. But anyway, she said something, and my wife goes, she says, you don't understand about your dad. And they go, what do you mean we don't understand? Says, your dad thinks more about you than he does himself. He thinks more about all of us than he does himself. He's never thinking about himself. How about that? But you don't, I don't see it because it's me, right? I'm the last person on the planet I'm going to cut any slack. I'm the last person I'm going to give a break to. You know, I hold myself to a different standard. And my girls, I tell you this too, right? My last name is Graziano, and they're, when they get, they're both going to get, I'm going to sign my last name, Graziano, and they're both going to get it tattooed on their left forearm. So when they get married, they'll still be Grazianos. Mm-hmm. How about that, man? You know? It's pretty powerful stuff, man, that happens to a guy like me. And I get to be around a lot of dudes, man, that are alcoholic, you know? Anyway, but I love it, man, and for a long time in sobriety, man, the coolest thing that ever happened to me was I got sober. But the coolest thing that's ever happened to me is watching other people get sober. And watching their lives come back. And watching their families come back. That's pretty good for me. I've been on up here for a while. Watching the lights come back on, right? And watching them develop a relationship with God. I mean, it's unbelievable, you know? And I'll wrap it up with this, you know? We take this meeting up to the prison, right, on Tuesday nights. It's just an AA meeting. We don't talk about whatever. And this is why sometimes I think I can be a little harsh with people that I sponsor as far as, like, their feelings and all this other stuff. Like, my sponsor would tell me, he's like, oh, your Fifi hurt? That's what he would say. You know, feelings, he ain't got nothing to do with it. That's what he would tell me. But this guy is one of the saddest things I've seen in Alcoholics Anonymous. This dude was in there. Justin was his name. Skinny white kid. Probably 30 years old. Tattooed up and everything, you know, man. And had the Aryan Brotherhood thing going. And he told me, I'm in the Aryan Brotherhood. I'm in the AB, you know. And I said, brother, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about alcoholism. Right? And I would talk to him about 15 minutes before the meeting. And then 15 minutes after the meeting. For like a month straight, right? And you know what he said to me one night? He said, man, he said, Dave, when you're talking to me, he's like, I can tell that you care about me. I said, I do care about you. I love you. I said, I pray for you, right? And he said, you're the first person in my life ever care about me. How about that? And you know what? He was right. And he knew it. I never saw him again. So come to me because your boss yelled at you. Right? Come to me because your wife wants you to rake the leaves and you want to watch a football game. Come to me. You ain't going to like it. I guarantee it. I'm going to tell you what God told me. Why don't you shut up about it and help his children? Why don't you just do it and help his children? Because that's my experience. Right? And it is awesome. You know, a couple people in here getting an anniversary chip tonight. Awesome. Right? Get to ride down with these dudes. Awesome. Get to meet y'all. Awesome. But you know what's also powerful about this thing? Right? Is being in the hospital room with a dude who ain't coming out of there. And then bringing his kids in there so that he can say goodbye to them because alcohol done beat them. That's powerful too. Going to a funeral and having the guy who passed away have his 7-year-old brother up there. I miss you, Evan. I miss you, Evan. I love you, Evan. The kid crying. That was on a Friday night. Sunday morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm walking around my house because that kid's in my house. I'm like, man, Trevor, it's okay, buddy. Trevor. Right? If I can be a little bit of bright light in somebody's darkness, me, I was the darkness. Now I get to be the light. All I can say about that is amen. I love y'all.
Dave, thank you so much.